Please turn with me to your Bibles as we will read from Paul's letter to the Galatians. And we'll read Galatians chapter 6, the verses 1 through 10. Hear God's holy and inspired word. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. This afternoon, there are three Bible texts that I wish to place before you. And the first one is Psalm 51, verse 12. Psalm 51, verse 12. As we hear the Word of God, Psalm 51, verse 12. And then please pay attention particularly to the word restore. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. And then we turn to Jeremiah 30, verse 17. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. There we hear the Lord God speaking to the people of Israel. Verse 17, for I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion. No one seeks her. And then we go back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. And verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Boys and girls, young people, this afternoon hour, I hope to speak to you and to all of us, about restoration from backsliding. And perhaps it would be good for me to explain for a moment what backsliding is all about. Well, backsliding is something that happens when you, as a believer, has confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. In other words, as you are born again. But something happens in your life that, well, we call that backsliding, but that you begin to look more at the world than you look at the Lord Jesus Christ. You begin to pay more attention to what the world wants you to be and what you should do than what God wants you to do. Backsliding is something that happens when the world becomes more attractive to you than the Lord Jesus Christ. Backsliding happens when you are tempted to do a sin and you kind of like it. Yes, yes, that's not too bad, and you make excuses for it. That's backsliding. And sad to say, but backsliding is one of the great problems in a Christian's life. One must always be alert to the fact that yes, backsliding is possible. In fact, Satan would love nothing better for you and me to backslide, because then he thinks he has you in his grip. However, and here's where I want to spend more time, you and I, we need to know how to be restored from backsliding. And that, of course, is what the gospel is all about. It is not only that initially you need to be saved, you need to be born again, and that's a gospel in itself already, and a great gospel. But at the same time, when you are born again, there needs to be the understanding how to be restored from backsliding. And that is what I want to speak of this hour particularly. And one of the things that I need to say about backsliding is that it sort of grows on you gradually. You don't always sense it yourself until someone tells you about it, a good friend, or you get to hear it because you are under the preaching of the gospel that deals with it, like what we have here this afternoon. And if that is the case, praise God, because then we know that the Holy Spirit is pleased to have you stop from backsliding and return to God. Well, now, let us then consider restoration from backsliding. And I've indicated already that there are three texts that I want to consider with you, and I will do that in the order as I have read them. And it deals with restoring. That's the word that is important. And so the first Bible text we have here is Psalm 51 and verse 12, where David prays, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit." Now, we know the story of David, don't we? It's a sad story in the life of King David. He has committed a number of sins. And this is often what happens with backsliding. It doesn't stay with just one sin. It goes from one to the other, and it often becomes worse as time goes on. Now, David here, obviously the sin of adultery is the case here. And the sin of adultery is already a terrible sin. But it didn't stop there. There was also the sin of theft and of deceit and even of murder as well. And on top of all that, there was with David the sin of not repenting of it. Of not repenting of it. You can read of that in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. And then God had to send the prophet Nathan to David and tell him a little bit about what is ungodly. And then at a certain point, Nathan had to point his finger at David. Now, I'm not going to point my finger at anyone in the congregation, but I'm going to point my finger at the wall. But just pretend there's Nathan and David. You are the man. Now, it could also be the case with you and with me that through the Word, not man, but through the Word, God the Holy Spirit points his finger at you and says to you, "You are the man, you are the woman, you are the boy, you are the girl." And if that is the case, then pay attention to what the Lord is pleased to convey to you this hour. Because when the Holy Spirit points his finger at you and says that you are the person, it means that you have backslidden. You have backslidden. And restoration is in order. But thankfully, well, that's a good start when you become alert and aware of the fact that you've backslidden. But thankfully, there's more. And that is what we have, of course, in Psalm 51, because David begins to pray. And that is our first text, where David says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Now, there's something quite interesting in that little prayer. It is a little prayer, But it is a very effective prayer, I must say. I believe that here we have the first practical application of restoration from backsliding. How can you and I experience restoration from backsliding? Well, the answer is very simple. We cannot sit back and say, well, let's just wait and see what the Lord will do, and in the meantime, I'll just live out. No, there's something that God wants us to do. And what is that? It's very simple. It's prayer. I cannot go on and just carry on and hope that the Lord will do something. No, He calls me to prayer. When I'm convicted of any sort of backsliding, whether it's a big backslide or a little one, I cannot leave my backsliding uncontested. If I am convicted of my backsliding, I must get busy with getting restored. And that is done through prayer. By prayer for restoration, that is then also, and notice this, that is then also coupled with confession. Because, and David shows us, he gives us a good example of this. Notice that before David could actually plead for restoration from backsliding, he is pressed into confessing his sin. And then notice in Psalm 51 that he is actually very specific about his confession of sin. He doesn't just say, God, I've sinned again. You know, in a certain way, God could go back and say to you, well, now tell me, what sin is it that you want to be forgiven of? And so David, knowing this, is very specific in what he has done. And so he uses different words. He uses transgression. He uses the word iniquity and evil and blood guiltiness. And so in that way, David says, God, this is the sin that I have done. It has been my backsliding sin. And David means, therefore, to be very specific in his confession of sin. And that is what you and I must do as well, dear people. We can learn from David, therefore, to be very specific in confessing of sin. And so, let's therefore learn in our confession to the Lord how and where and when we have been backsliding. That'd be good for us to present that and to say this and confess this to the Lord God. Let us be specific in confessing where our backsliding has landed us. Let us be honest with the Lord our God and tell Him what we find the most shameful in our backsliding and where it has landed us. Then David prays with urgency for being restored and be forgiven. He asks God to remove the sin from him. And there again, notice that he is very specific as well in how he would envision being restored. He says, blot out, wash me, cleanse me, purge me. You see? And it is only after that that David dares to ask for restoration. Now, how does he ask for that? Well, by prayer of the words in our text. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Now notice that David has something very specific in mind. And that is the joy of salvation. That tells us already that backsliding does something negative to you. Backsliding robs you of the joy of salvation. Backsliding, you see, it robs you of anything that is truly godly and pleasurable. That is one of the trademarks of backsliding, you see. It affects your prayer life, it affects your Bible reading, it affects your church attendance, it affects your faith life, it affects your everything that pertains to your worship of God. It affects it all. In fact, it even affects your conscience. It could even cause your conscience to start being quiet when it should speak up. It could even affect your relationship between husband and wife, relationship between parents and children, children to parents. And how does such backsliding then affect you in those particular areas? Well, it robs you of your joy in them. Your prayer life has no joy in it anymore. Your Bible reading, you just don't find it joyful any longer. Your Bible reading has lost its joy in the Lord God. There's no joy in church attendance anymore. Ah, you still come to church, but you could as easily stay home. There's no joy in it anymore. There's no joy in your faith. There's no joy in your love. There's no joy in your conscience. There's no joy in your relationships any longer. That's what backsliding does, you see. Backsliding robs you of the joy of salvation. It robs you of your spiritual joy. And that is what David was very keen on seeing restored. And therefore, if you have and if you know of the experience of no spiritual joy, then ask yourself, have I perhaps been backsliding? Now, I must say one thing in all fairness, that lack of spiritual joy does not necessarily mean that you have been backsliding. Please hear me out. Because a life of trials, a life of troubles, can also affect our spiritual joy. A lingering sickness, prolonged pain, absence of sympathy, no friends, loneliness, or other distressful things can also affect our spiritual joy and rob us of spiritual joy. But it is certain that backsliding will rob you of your spiritual joy. That is a certainty. And therefore, the way to restoration is by concerted effort on your part to pray, as David did here in Psalm 51, and pleading with the Lord God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. My friend, therefore, I ask you already by way of application, have you learned upon conviction of personal backsliding to pray the Lord, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation? Have you learned upon hearing about backsliding and being convicted of that yourself as well to pray, as David did, restore to me the joy of your salvation? The prayer then for such restoration is to be read in Psalm 51. Well, now, that takes us to the next Bible text. And as I want to consider with you the act of such restoration. And that takes us to Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 17, where we are told, and here's the Lord God speaking, "For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord." Now, it can be said that backsliding is actually a spiritual disease. And it is based upon another Bible text, and you can read of that in Hosea 14, verse 4, for instance, where God says, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely." And so the Lord speaks of backsliding there and of healing. So we can say then, because of that text, that backsliding is a spiritual disease. The Lord considers backsliding a spiritual disease that men and women, boys and girls, need to be healed from. Now, as it says here in our text, of backsliding, God's promise, I will restore health to you, I will heal you of your backsliding, I will heal you of your wounds, because backsliding brings on wounds, doesn't it? And so the Lord presents himself here as the great physician, in fact, he is the only physician who can restore us to spiritual health and heal our backsliding. How does he do this? You might ask. How does he do this? Well, does he simply speak the word and lo and behold, we are restored and we are healed? Is that how he does it? Well, he can do that. In fact, our God is powerful. He can simply speak the word and it is done. He did that with creation, didn't he? But in this case, it often is the other way. He most often restores and he heals in a less dramatic and in a less than instant way. He most often restores us and heals our backsliding by getting us directly involved in the process of such restoration. Hear me out. God gets us directly involved in the restoration from backsliding. Take, for example, the Lord's and how he restored and healed Simon Peter from his backsliding. Remember how Simon Peter had denied any sort of acquaintance with the Lord Jesus Christ and that on the evening before the Lord was crucified. It was a very rapid sort of backsliding, and with Simon Peter being ashamed of the Lord. We know the story, don't we? Simon Peter basically broke his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord could very easily have zapped Simon Peter back into a restored and healthy sort of relationship with him. He could have done that, but he didn't. It was not the case. No, the process of restoration, you see, was a bit more detailed and actually had Simon Peter deeply involved in that particular process, and often that's how the Lord still does it today. Just look at the act of restoration there at the Sea of Galilee. And I'm going to read a little bit for you so that we, as it were, can visualize as to what happened there. You can read of it in John chapter 21 and verse 15 and following. The risen Lord, he has gathered his disciples together and in the presence and in the hearing of all his disciples. It was not just a private matter. In the hearing of all his disciples, the Lord asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Then we read, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" You can imagine what Peter went through at that moment. And then he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, dear people, you might ask, well, why have I read this Bible passage to you? So that all of us could witness the act of restoration, of healing a backslider, and learn from it as well. Again, how does the Lord restore and heal you from your backsliding? By asking you questions. By having you think about the questions that God asks of you. And by having you come up with some very serious answers. Let me just give you the example. Has your backsliding been of any spiritual profit to you? No, Lord. Has your backsliding brought you any spiritual pleasure, any spiritual contentment, any spiritual peace? No, Lord. Has your backsliding made you more sensitive to your inclinations to sin and to your vulnerability to temptations. No, Lord. And now the healing process becomes somewhat painful. Do you really love me? Do you really love me? How are we, you and I, going to answer that? Was your love for the Lord strong while you were in the process of backsliding? Were there times in your backsliding days that you could still sing with a measure of feeling and joy, I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace? It's rather doubtful. And you would have to say, no, Lord. Wasn't there more self-love with you than love for the Lord? Were you not more interested in the things of the world and in the things that the world has to offer than in the things of the Lord and what the Lord has to offer? Yes, Lord, yes. And so the Lord continues to ask questions which are meant for restoration and for healing, you see. And it can be painful. It can be painful, especially when the Lord asks, do you love me? And again, what will your answer be? And remember, your involvement in this act of restoration is to answer as sincerely as possible the questions that the Lord puts to you. What will your answer be? And I leave that for you to answer to the Lord for yourself. Will it be like Simon Peter? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Lord, I realize that I have been backsliding. I realize that I have denied you. I've been ashamed of you, of how I have acted in public. I've only thought of my self-preservation. And as a consequence, my devotional life, my relational life, it has suffered on account of it. But Lord, you know all things. You know all things. You know that I love you. That I love you. Dear people, this is how the Lord actually restores you to spiritual health. He gets you involved in Him and in His relationship with Him again. He gets you into a loving relationship with Him again. And this is also why He can say, by the words of our second text, for I will restore health to you and heal you of your backsliding, says the Lord. This is a promise, dear people. This is a promise that you can be certain of, be assured of. Backsliding has been a spiritual, unhealthy situation for you, or a process for you, and you have racked up a number of wounds, perhaps as well, spiritual wounds during that time. But the Lord has promised with His word, I will restore you and heal you of your wounds. That's a promise. You know, as I studied for this message, I also read a few sermons from C.H. Spurgeon where he came up with a very beautiful, urgent plea to his people. And I was quite touched by it. And I just want to read that for you. Just listen carefully to what C.H. Spurgeon has to say in urging the backslider back to Jesus. Oh, sick and wounded one, go just as you are and throw yourself at Jesus' feet and say to Him, keep your promise, Lord. I have come with your word in my mouth and in my heart. Be as good as your own declaration and restore me to health and heal me of my wounds of backsliding. Dear people, I would like to make a similar plea also to you this hour as well, a similar appeal as Spurgeon once did. Though his words are far richer and far more powerful, I still want to say to you as well, dear people, humble yourself in the sight of our great and gracious God. Answer sincerely to the requests. Do you love him? Plead his promises to restore you to good health, good spiritual health, that he may heal you of your wounds of backsliding. And for your encouragement, then I want to quote another passage, but that is from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be of tremendous encouragement for each one of us when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has anointed me to preach the gospel, and that particularly to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and restoration to those who have no sight, restoration to those who are blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The act of restoration, dear people, can be seen in how the Lord restores your spiritual health and heals you of your wounds, according to our second text, Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. But now, in the third place, I want to consider with you the bond of such restoration as it comes to us from our third text, as we find it in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, and I believe that he means sisters as well here. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Here, dear people, we have restoration taking place with the involvement of other believers. This is why I need to speak in the third place about the bond of restoration, or the bond in restoration. You see, when you are in the process of backsliding, you yourself may not really be aware of where you are going and what is happening with you. You might not at all be aware that you are backsliding. And I mentioned this earlier already, in that you don't always realize that you are backsliding until someone alerts you to it, or you are under the gospel that deals with that particular matter. And then you may become aware of it. It can also be, of course, as it is sometimes with those who are ill and afflicted, that you don't want to acknowledge it. You don't want to admit to it. Backslide? No, I haven't backslidden. You might then be a backslider and yet deny it in the strongest terms. But your fellow believer has noticed this on you, that you have backslidden. He may have noticed in your slacking of church attendance, or in your slacking of Bible studies, or in your unwillingness to engage in any sort of spiritual discussions with him or her. You may have noticed your backsliding in your growing in worldliness, in pleasing yourself rather than pleasing the Lord. He may have noticed on you that you seem to have become far more interested in getting involved in sinful activities. He may have noticed that you have actually started to associate with so-called friends who are leading you in a path away from the Lord God, those who may be called drinking buddies or party animals, or whatever term is given by the young people to such kind of people. Well, now, this fellow believer who has been called by the Lord God, he begins to take part in your restoration, and that is quite correct. He begins to take part in your restoration. How? By speaking to you about what he has noticed about you. And how is he to do this? Well, there's instruction here in our text. Our text tells us, in a spirit of gentleness. Not in a rough and a belligerent way. Not in a way of accusations and of threats. Not in a spirit of, hey, I am better than you, and so you had better listen to me. No, but in a spirit of gentleness. You see, congregation, you also as a church family are a church family as brothers and sisters. You may call each other brothers and sisters, you see. This means also that you are to care for one another, that you are to love one another in a godly way. This means also that you as a church family and as a church family member must pay close attention to those who are afflicted by a spiritual disease called backsliding. And that your spiritual senses then should kick in towards restoration of such a backsliding brother or sister. You feel a burden to speak then to him, or you should. Not to speak about him, because that's gossip. And gossip is the murder of someone's character. We should never get involved in gossip. So we do not speak about him or about her, but we speak to him. We speak to her. And that in a spirit of gentleness, as Paul says here in Galatians. Then I can see a burdened brother visiting a backsliding brother. And that in a spirit of gentleness, encouraging him from the Bible, the Word of God, praying with him, taking him along in the Word of God, talking with him, and showing a desire to see such a brother return from his backsliding ways and be restored in good spiritual health again. And this is how the Lord is often pleased to work, you see, to see someone restored from backsliding. And dear people, when such a bond exists in the congregation, this bond of restoration, it will have the Lord's approval. It will have the Lord's blessings as well. And what a joy it is then to see a brother or a sister restored from backsliding, restored to spiritual health, and healed from his or her spiritual wounds, and see him or her restored to the joy of salvation. Now the Apostle James, he also has that in mind as well, I believe, when he writes a very encouraging word at the very end of his letter, when we read in James chapter 5, the verses 19 and 20, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back. Wandering from the truth is backsliding, isn't it? And someone turns him back. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. And dear people, therefore, what a rewarding thing it is when you are given the opportunity to see a brother or sister return and restored from backsliding. To see a brother or sister return to the joy of God's salvation. Then the prayer of our first text, Psalm 51, is answered, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Then the promise of our second text has also been fulfilled. I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds. And then also the bond is active and it is working, as you can read of it in our last text, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Then you as congregation may know that God is pleased to dwell amongst you with his Holy Spirit. Then Jesus Christ, after all, will have all the praise for why. Why did he die on the cross, dear people? Well, he died so that sin could be taken away from you, removed from you. Sin could be taken away also in the backsliding of it. Jesus Christ died not only to cause people to be born again, but he also died so that we may be sanctified, that is, live holy lives. Then you will see spiritually healthy Christians living in the joy of salvation. And this is really what Christ wants as well, that the joy of salvation would be seen on us and heard from us. Then He, the Lord Jesus Christ, will notice on us that we have become fervent in spirit again, that we are beginning to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit again. And we know those fruits of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and so on. Then Christ will rejoice in that, even as we may experience the joy of salvation. When such fruits of the Spirit are evident, then backsliding has taken a back seat, and then restoration is in the driver's seat again. Dear people, young and old, young people as well as middle-aged and seniors, to be backsliding cannot ever remain a stagnant condition with you or among you. You have heard about restoration from backsliding. Well, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, you are told here, this hour, about the prayer for restoration. You have heard also about the act of restoration. And you have heard about the bond in restoration as well. And it is through Jesus Christ, our gracious and good-doing Lord and Savior, that you may then have the joy of His salvation. And that joy is only a precursor. It is just a taste of what the joy of salvation will be like in eternity when we are with Christ and when we see our brothers and sisters who have backslidden have been restored. What a joy that will be. Amen. O great and glorious Shepherd of the sheep, we thank and praise you that also this hour you have addressed us even as people who are bent on backsliding, though we might not recognize it. But Lord God, we thank you that through your word, you have given us three avenues by which we may be restored. And we thank you that you are the one who will then also grant us the joy of your salvation. We thank you for this because we long to sing praises to your name. We look for the day when our joy of salvation will be perfected in eternity, when we will see your face, the glory of God upon the face of Jesus Christ, when we will see our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and when we will rejoice together in knowing that there is this bond of fellowship with one another and with Christ. Bless us, we pray. Bless our youth, our young people. We thank you that we could also address them this hour. And we do pray that they may early in life know what it means to be a confessed believer in Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord, and that they may then live to the praises of your name. Be with each one of us. Bless the congregation. We thank you as we can consider the young people, the cadets, that they have received a safe return. And we pray for them and for their leaders. We pray for this congregation in every facet of worship, in every facet of teaching, confession of faith classes, catechism classes, Bible studies. Lord God, give those who do the teaching the unction of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide the people in a way that's pleasing to you. Dismiss us now in your favor. Grant that we may have a safe trip back home again, and may all things work out well. And we pray that in due time you would give one of your servants as pastor to this congregation, and that in Jesus' name we pray and thank. Amen.